This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Good morning. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmus. And my heart sank, Paul, when you start hearing of another shooting on another college campus. There have been 81 mass shootings so far this year, and a mass shooting is four or more people injured by gunfire, not including the shooter. So we have, as you said, two dead and six injured, including this 20-year-old student who is the suspect in the shooting. And, you know, I know we've been through this here multiple times. So when you think it can happen here, obviously we know that's not true, but another college campus, and with details from CBS, Michael George.
Tragically, this isn't even the first time this has happened there. Two men were killed. Neither were students. Six others were injured. The suspect was taken into custody after he was shot by officers. Police identified him as 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner, the stepson of a sheriff's deputy who allegedly used his stepmother's former service weapon to carry out the attack. The gunfire erupted around lunchtime yesterday in the student union on the Tallahassee campus. CBS's Jared Hill joins us now with more on this. Do we know anything yet about the motive for this attack?
We are hearing from some people who knew the suspected shooter, but a big question this morning for investigators is still, why did a 20-year-old student shoot up his college?
Horror on the campus of Florida State University.
Oh my gosh.
Students scrambled for safety as a man opened fire Thursday. Hold Mendez says he ran once he saw the shooter.
As soon as I thought I was in a somewhat safer position, i.e. out of the immediate sight of the gunman, I said, okay, need to start getting people to call 911.
Officers swarmed the campus as some students hid in classrooms.
My teacher didn't necessarily know what to do because she was from Canada, so she hadn't been trained in that before. So the students and I kind of just took over control of the situation.
Two people were killed, neither students. Six others taken to the hospital, including the suspected gunman. Authorities identified him as 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner, an FSU student and the stepson of a Leon County Sheriff's deputy.
Unfortunately, her son had access to one of her weapons, and that was one of the weapons that was found at the scene.
FSU student Lainey Montgomery says she also went to middle and high school with the suspect.
He was very isolated.
President Trump offered condolences. This latest school shooting has reignited conversations about gun safety. The Florida legislature is coincidentally considering removing laws enacted after the 2018 Parkland High School shooting.
The gun doesn't do the shooting, the people do. I have an obligation to protect the Second Amendment. I ran on the Second Amendment.
At FSU, the campus is turning to healing. A free meal, and a growing memorial.
It's little things like this that, you know, kind of help distract us a little bit.
Marking a day many will never forget.
FSU has canceled classes through today. Meanwhile, court records obtained by CBS News show the suspected shooter had been at the center of a years-long custody battle between his father and his birth mother. Still no word on a motive as to why this shooting happened yesterday.
CBS's Jared Hill.
And I have to ask the question, Larry. I'm just curious. What does the child custody thing have anything to do with the shooting? I'm curious.
You know, I guess early on, they try to piece together mindset, what's going on in an individual's life, how that something within that may or may not be a trigger. You know, you go through a lot of this where they'll start to piece together social media posts when they get to the home, go through, you know, where he slept, the bedroom, what was the mindset? What would drive someone to do this?
And what stood out to me in what has come out so far, I don't know about you, but this is a weapon that used to be used by his mother, who is a sheriff's deputy, in her job. And then she had that one at home when they retired it and replaced it with a new gun for the job. Now, that usually it's the stories we'll hear about this at home, that, you know, the shooter, a young person, has gotten a hold of guns in the home, or the parents have bought them the weapons. But this one is very different.
Yeah, it is different. And, you know, at 20 years old, you have access to those kind of things, you know, regardless. But still, I'm sure nobody feels worse than his mother, too. And
oh, how awful.
Yeah.
An 18-year veteran of the Leon County Sheriff's Office. And so, I also want to know, too, I'm curious to know if the weapon had a gun lock, if it did or didn't. He may have had access to the key to unlock it if there was one.
It's interesting that we found many of weapons used in crimes, not necessarily at this level, though, are stolen. And stolen from cars that are unlocked with a pistol in the glove compartment or the console, which...
Or like we had just a few days ago, these two men from Erie County who were accused of breaking into a home in Cranberry and stealing 19 weapons worth over $50,000. Now, police were able to recover those, but home invasions and robberies like that, too.
Well, regardless, in this case, two people dead, six injured, including the suspected gunman. And getting to the mindset of why a 20-year-old student would do that is going to take time. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. Audacy. And we'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather information, and crystal clear digital audio. And it's got a leg of DVR, too. You can roll back and listen to important interviews. And we've got a lot going on and gearing up for a Pittsburgh mayoral debate that we will have here live. And that'll be the morning of May 8th, Paul. And I know last night...
Have you seen the headlines?
Yeah. So share with us what... Because last night they got together, the mayoral candidates.
Yes, they did. And the headline in the Post-Gazette says, Ganey-O'Connor clash in fiery Democratic mayoral primary debate. Wow.
Not a surprise, I suppose. But the fact is, in this city, the mayoral primary on the Democratic ticket is... 99% chance of who's going to be the winner in November.
Now, let's hope this doesn't happen when we hold our debate with these gentlemen, but quoting directly now from this story, it says the candidates traded accusations, interrupted each other, and at times shouted during this half-hour debate last night on Channel 11. I don't want that here, I can tell you. I don't know anybody who does. I'd rather hear them debate the issues, right?
Yeah, debate the issues, and we want answers to questions of, and each other has accused each other of, you know, as you have in these, and we've almost become used to the acrimonious accusations back and forth.
You know, it pretty much started with candidate O'Connor saying that the mayor wasn't transparent about the state of the city's finances, and then the mayor came back and said that he was doing his administration, and, quote, an incredible job to ensure a strong city budget. So they all have very different views of the same situation.
Other news outside of that Florida State University campus shooting, which we'll continue to cover, is this Luigi Mangione, who's been indicted on federal charges, including murder, was brought to court yesterday.
Federal prosecutors announced the charges against Luigi Mangione last December, he hadn't formally been indicted until now. He's pleaded not guilty to all the charges brought against him over his alleged assassination of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty. His lawyers have filed a motion for that to be off the table.
That is Stacey Lynn from CBS. And Paul, I know somebody who looks like him, who's an actor. And he has been, someone has reached out to him. They are already putting a movie together about this most unusual situation. For those that don't know, he has received financial support from people for whatever reason they believe.
There is a group of people now in the United States who support what he did and think it was justified.
Which is, to most normal thinking people, which is most...
Let's
most
use people. The word rational versus irrational, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's irrational to think that just because someone has murdered a CEO of a healthcare company that you don't like or don't support what they do or don't like how they do business, whatever it might be, that that's somehow justified. I agree that people have legitimate beefs, right, concerning health insurance problems. We've got some work to do in the United States when it comes to health care. But still, how do you just murder is justified in that? That's irrational.
And the people that support that, it doesn't make any sense. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the nation remembers this Saturday, tomorrow, marking 30 years. Since the Oklahoma City bombing. And for many, this seemed to be the beginning of a series.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Series of these kinds of domestic terrorist attacks.
And I've forgotten why the two people involved in the bombing, I've forgotten why now, McVeigh and the other guy.
Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols.
Terry Nichols. I've forgotten what their motivation was. I don't even know what it was, except to, you know, terrorize people.
Well, they exploded the truck bomb, which was filled with fertilizer, highly flammable, killing 168 people and injuring 700 more.
The images of the destruction at the Murrah Federal Building were just unbelievable to me. It looked like something out of Beirut or Baghdad.
Yes. And Robin Marsh, an anchor with KWTV in Oklahoma City, and 30 years ago, she was just 9 days into her new position at the television station as a reporter on that day. And she talks about this year's ceremony, which will be held indoors due to bad weather.
President Bill Clinton will be here. And, you know, President Clinton was president in 1995 when the Oklahoma City bombing happened. And even during that time, he said, I'll be here today and I'll be here as many days as possible for Oklahoma City. And here he is returning back to Oklahoma.
And our own Marty Griffin was actually, he worked in Oklahoma City. So he's seen a lot of these things firsthand. That's with Michael Bartley. And this is the Big K Morning Show. One of the takeaways from this week was the conversation about autism and the push by the new health secretary, and that would be Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and talking about a focus on trying to get to the triggers. What causes autism? And joining us is Dr. Tager Fussberg, a professor at Boston University and an expert in autism research. Doctor, good morning. Welcome to KDKA.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for inviting me.
What do we hope to learn about what causes autism? What does and doesn't? What has been ruled out?
Okay, well, the one thing we have ruled out definitively is vaccines. That's been studied repeatedly in very well-designed and complicated studies, and we know that vaccines do not cause autism. What we do know is that genetics plays a very significant role, and it is likely that it interacts in some children. In some, it's going to be the sole explanation. In others, it might interact with some non-genetic factors that we're beginning to understand. But each of these other factors plays such a small role, it's difficult to identify them so easily.
And this newer statistic suggesting one in 31 children are dealing mm-hmm. with some level of the autism spectrum is, as Kennedy said, it's an epidemic. But let's backtrack for just a moment and not assume that everyone knows or understands what autism is and what the spectrum is all about. Mm-hmm. Can you give us kind of a layman's explanation, please?
Okay, so the main features of autism on which we base a diagnosis are problems, difficulties with social communication. So they don't engage so easily. They find forming relationships more difficult. They're not effective when they're communicating with other people. They may also have sensory issues, repetitive behaviors, and also some, you know, unusual and focused interests. And those are really the core features. But many individuals with autism, in fact, most, also have other features that co-occur. So they may have some medical issues, gastrointestinal or sleep problems. A significant number may have intellectual disability or language impairment. Anxiety is very common, especially as children get older. So all these additional features contribute to the more complex presentation and the variety that we see among people diagnosed with autism.
And it's not a diagnosis of one fits all. That's why they call it a spectrum, because there are many high-functioning people with autism and who have extraordinary intellect in many cases, too. How do you begin to separate through what that spectrum is?
Well, the spectrum, as I say, is defined by the severity of the core symptoms and also the extent to which they do or do not have intellectual disability or language, severe language difficulties. That accounts for a considerable amount of the severity and the you know, the individual variation that you talk about. And when we discuss 1 in 31, that encompasses the full spectrum.
So the number may be not exactly, because we've come over the years to learn a lot more about autism. I know a generation ago, very few people knew much about it at all. And then we've come to learn that there is a wide spectrum of individual.
Yes,
when is a child at age typically diagnosed?
So I would say across the country, the average age is between, it's still around age 4. But in fact, if parents notice differences much earlier than that, we can screen for autism at the age of 18 months, and we can even diagnose autism at 18 months to 2 years of age. And in places like Pittsburgh, where there's a major autism center, you'll find that children end up getting diagnosed at an earlier age.
And what should parents look for in their young children? Then they may suspect that something is not exactly tracking as normal.
Well, they they often notice, the first feature they notice, is that their baby at around 12 months is not as vocal, isn't babbling as much, may not be using words. So they may be quieter babies. They may be less engaged with other people. It may be that they're quite engaged with their parents at this point, but especially over the second year of life, the features really emerge, and they may find that if they get together with parents and other babies, that their own baby seems less interested in the other children, happier to play with their own toys. So those are some of the features that they may notice.
And we encourage mothers and fathers to reach out. There are tremendous resources. There have been early intervention is something I hear a lot of people say that is critical. So the sooner you can reach out, the better. Right, Doc?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Early identification is the key to optimizing your child's outcome, because we know that early intervention really does benefit all children, and some considerably more than others.
Doctor, we appreciate your time and expertise. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Dr. Tager Fussberg, who is a expert professor at Boston University when it comes to the study of
Light News Desk.
It's really somber. It's like everyone left. I feel like so many people left. They don't want to be here. They don't want to like keep walking around and reliving it, like what they saw, what they heard.
And it's an FSU student, Larry, who says some students just packed up and left campus yesterday.
I imagine it's getting into the semester, getting close to the end, and emotionally shaken. I don't blame them.
Motorists are going to be dealing with a lot of stuff. Not only McNightmare construction and the changes coming with it today, but also heavy traffic on the turnpike interstates during the holiday weekend.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people are on the road. We always talk about Memorial weekend and Labor Day weekend for travel, but this is another big one where people do drive to a lot of places.
So I was surprised, Larry, to see in a story that we had earlier this morning on the turnpike that they're expecting as many as 590,000 motorists on Monday.
Right. A lot of people take Monday off, and then that becomes a big travel day.
Yep, it sure does. And
no, that's not in Washington. That's the chant for Alexander Ovechkin last night at PPG Paints Arena. And that was a post that the Washington Capitals social media put up. It said, Ovi chants in Pittsburgh. Never thought we'd see the day. Thank you, Penguin fans. And you know what? Good luck to the Caps in the playoffs, because the Penn season is over.
Well, at least they ended that season with a convincing win last night. Was it with 5-3, right?
Yeah, Rust had two. But
and Sidney scored.
As you would expect, Sidney Crosby scored, and so did Ovi. So it was a special night and a special day in Pittsburgh.